Hey there, Happy New Year. Sorry to wake you up like that. It's a good day, isn't it? God is faithful, God is good. He's with us constantly, forever. And we need to remember that God is always there. Happy New Year. 2023. Wow, how many of you expected to see that? 2023, what? Years since the beginning of the end. What end? Of this world. Jesus is doing what? He's coming back. He's coming back. We got to be ready for that. 2023, years since the beginning of the last days, according to Scripture. The last days, the Messiah would come. We celebrated the coming of the Messiah last week, right? And Jesus is still alive and well because He's at the right hand of God at the throne of heaven. Amen? And we are celebrating Him and living for Him. God has blessed us with reaching another calendar year. What opportunities, what trials, what lessons, what failures await you in this coming year? Well, time will tell, but God already knows. And He already knows when He's sending back Jesus Christ. A story is told of a man named Harry Cohn, or Cohn, C-O-H-N. How do you say that? Cohn, I think it's Cohn. Anyway, he headed up Columbia Movie Studios many years ago. In his early years of working there, one day for a period of time, his brother decided to travel from New York to California to go watch his brother Harry work. And while they were out there working, the brother started criticizing Harry about how he was doing things. And none of you ever have that happen in your families, do you? Brothers, sisters, little discontentment. Anyway, this brother just kept criticizing Harry. And finally, Harry just had enough, and he said, "You don't know anything. I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer." And the brother said, "What does that have to do with anything?" "Why, I just don't think you know the Lord's Prayer. You just don't know very much." And the brother said, "Yes, I do know the Lord's Prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." So there. And Harry just kind of was taken back. He says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think you knew the Lord's Prayer." Both of them were wrong, right? They both needed a little bit of education. Human pride and arrogance must constantly be kept in check. None of us are exempt from the temptation of thinking that we know more, that we're smarter than somebody else, that we got more information, we're better than the circumstances around us than what we ought to think. We all need help. Amen? We who claim to be obedient to Christ must always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. That's what the Scripture commands us, to be sure to relate through our words, through our actions, through our deeds, that Jesus Christ is Lord, He's Master, He is ruler over all things, including ourselves. And we need to be submissive servants of Jesus Christ. Our text is just a portion of the encouragement and warnings that Moses exhorted the nation of Israel with, that Moses challenged the nation of Israel with, as they prepared to get the opportunity to go into the land of promise, the land of Israel. God had promised centuries before through Abraham that all of the land of Canaan would belong to the family. This is it. They have grown to be multitudes, and they are sitting across the river from the promised land. Moses has been leading them. He's now 120 years old, and God has told him, "You're not going into the promised land because you dishonored me." But Moses wants to make sure that the people of Israel are prepared for what lies before them. He warns them of their tendencies, of things that can trip them up. He doesn't want them to be tripped up. He wants them to remember God all the time. And so as I was thinking about this, here we are entering into a new year, even though we are, most of us are pretty well established in our life. How are you going to approach the new year? A lot of people like to make the New Year's resolutions. Brother Ray referred to that. How many of you have already broken your diet plan? Anyway, can we make a commitment to serve God in a better way, to be more faithful in this coming year? We would do well to remember the words that Moses shares with the nation of Israel, to remember to serve God. Remember to serve God. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we begin? Thank you, Father, for your watching care over us, your blessings abundant through the many years that you have given each of us life. We thank you for the past year. We thank you for the protection and care that you've given to us. Father, we pray for your continued comfort for those families that have lost loved ones. But Father, help us to take this time that you have given to us to serve you, to honor you. You have blessed us with life. Let us do so in the name of Jesus, the Lord of life, and to be good examples to those around us, to be encouragers, to be a witness and a testimony of the goodness of walking in the path of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this new day, the new calendar year, and just one more day closer to the return of Jesus Christ in power and glory in all of his majesty. Let us be found faithful. Guide us as we open your scriptures, as we consider these ancient words of Moses, and to take to heart the principles that you would want us to learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The text that I've chosen is the entire chapter of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, just a portion of some of the reminder that Moses gave to the nation of Israel. But I've chosen three different thoughts, main points out of this passage. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is Moses encouraging the nation of Israel, God's people. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Powerful statements, and this is just a portion of what Moses had for the nation of Israel, but I think we can learn some lessons here, and I've got three main points that I want to deal with. The first is, keep God's commandments. Keep God's commandments. He expects obedience. And God deserves obedience, doesn't he? He is the Almighty One. He's the one who gives us life and breath. God's law directed the Israelites in living righteously. Living righteously for God and by his standards. The Mosaic law of God defined what was right and wrong, what was good or bad. It directed the people in every aspect of living, from personal submission to God to community relations, as well as personal and community health and hygiene. 613 laws were given to guide the people in what was holy before God. And it was a totally different lifestyle from what they knew and had grown up with in the land of Egypt. But God is the designer. He's the creator, and he gave them rules that would help them, strengthen them, and sustain them while they lived on the earth. All of the law could be summed up in how many commands? Two commands. Jesus was asked that later on, centuries later. Two commands. Moses summed the first one up in chapter 6. Verse 5, we did not read chapter 6. You can go back and read that if you want to. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Now, in the New Testament, in the Greek translations, there's one more added there. And if you don't know what it is, go to the book of Mark. Look it up. I'm not going to tell you. Little trivia question there, okay? But anyway, it's all aspect, in all aspects, it's saying the same thing that the Hebrew says. It's just interpreting in the Greek mindset one more factor that was included already in the Hebrew mindset. So the greatest command is serving God with your entire being. And then there's a second one like it. And that is also found in the law, in the book of Leviticus. The second one is just like it. What is it? You love your neighbor as yourself. That is all within the Mosaic law. You can sum up all of the law with those two. If you can live those two rules in perfection, you are pleasing God in all aspects as you love God and love people. Now, Israel had been living by these rules for how long? For about 40 years. 40 years as they wander around in the wilderness, waiting until the day that God would lead them out of the wilderness. 40 years of your life practicing the law, day after day after day, reminding each other about the law. They had been following God's directions through Sinai, the desert, waiting until they could enter into that promised land in Canaan. And now, Here they are. They had been led by God, and they are camped on the east side of the Jordan River, waiting to cross the river to go into the promised land. But God wants to remind them. Remember, God, you're going to forget if you allow the things of this world overpower your thinking. Remember God. This was a special day. Moses had called the whole congregation together, and he recites to them all of the laws, explaining the laws, helping them understand what they needed to remember for their daily living. Who needed to remember the law? Every Israelite was to remind each other of God's word. Every Israelite. The leaders were supposed to remind everybody. The priests were supposed to remind everybody. The parents were supposed to remember and to teach their children. And the children were exempt? No. The children were expected to learn the law. Everybody was going to be accountable to know and to live by the law. And in the law, even the foreigners who lived among the nation of Israel were expected and required to abide by the law. Nobody was exempt from the law. Sound familiar? That's what we try to do. That's what is expected in our own country. And God was no different. The teachings of Jesus are now our standard of living for us today. Jesus is the Savior. He is the Redeemer promised by God and sent by God to this world. The Old Testament had foretold that a new covenant was coming, that a Savior was coming. Ever since the very first sin on down through the ages, over and over again, God talked about this coming Messiah, this coming Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One, and many other terms were used referring to God's Son. And we just celebrated the coming of Jesus. It has taken place. We live under the new covenant. We don't live by the old covenant, even though the old covenant is incorporated into this. Actually, we live by a stronger, more expectation to fully love God in all aspects and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus said even to love our enemies. Isn't that a good one? How are you doing on that one? You struggle with that one a little bit once in a while? Yeah, I do. I get frustrated, see bad things happening, and have to turn it over to God. God calls for us to live by a higher standard than just keeping 613 rules. When you start applying it to every situation, you find out that, man, you got to make some adjustments here, you got to make some adjustments there to please God all the time. But God doesn't leave us as orphans, does he? He gives us his personal help. His Spirit living within us guides us, helps us, strengthens us, reminds us, directs us in the ways that we need to live by Jesus' standards, according to the King of Kings. Now, this Old Testament had foretold this new covenant was coming, and Jesus was given how much authority by God? All authority. We read that in Matthew 28:18. And according to John chapter 14, Jesus said that he is a way or the way. The way, and what else? The truth and the life, that no one can come to the Father except through him. His words are life. His teachings are righteous. And so we keep God's commandments today. All people are called to keep God's commandments today by living through Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, Messiah of all. Moses urged the Israelites to remember God's ways. How does God want them to live day by day? God is the one who designed and made us for his purpose. He knows what is best in all situations. He knows what we are capable of individually. His directives for living are the best way if we want eternal life. After all, He put us together, right? And He's the one who will call us to account for our life. Moses reminded the Israelites of God's constant provision. God had provided their deliverance from brutal slavery with 10 powerful plagues, and then as they were leaving, God provided that they could take the spoils of Egypt with them to ask for anything they wanted, and the Egyptians gave it to them as they were fleeing, but under God's command. God had provided for their daily food by miraculous methods for 40 years. Think about that. They did not have to toil to work the soil. They didn't have to go out and plow. They didn't have to cultivate. They didn't have to plant. They didn't have to harvest. All they had to do was go out 6 mornings a week and to gather up their food for the day and then prepare it according to how they wanted it. Do you want manna mush this morning, or do you want manna pancakes? How do you want your manna? And, 6 mornings a week. God provided their water. God provided their victory over their enemies. God provided clothing and shoes that never wore out. How many of you would like that? Oh, that outfit looks so nice on you. Isn't that what you had on last year? Yes, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before. But God sustained them in all things. Their health was better than it had ever been before. They had a better way of life because they were doing things God's way. But we read in the text also that God provided hunger. God provided thirst. God provided need. God provided judgment. God provided fear. God provided pestilence. God provided terrifying scenes and 40 years of wanderings. What? That doesn't sound right. Why did God do that? Moses explained in verse 3. Did you not catch it? Verse 3 tells us, He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that what? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our sustenance is based on God's gift, His speaking, provision, protection, power, eternity, life. We must depend on God, not your checkbook, not your work, not your family, not all the other stuff we put our trust in. It truly should be in God we trust. Unfortunately, we substitute who the God is. And Moses is warning Israel, keep your focus on the living God. The one who provides everything. God had now led them to the promised land with homes and corrals already built, with crops already planted, with productive orchards and vineyards. And God is about ready to hand them the blessings of life. But don't forget your God. In the busyness of taking care of things, of providing, of reaping and harvesting, don't forget God. Both good and bad circumstances served God's purpose for Israel, helping them to mature in God's righteousness. The old gospel song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Rejoice once in a while. No, rejoice always in the Lord. every blessing and every trial should draw us as individuals closer to the throne of God, to our Lord, in celebration, in worship, in trust. Romans 8:28 is given to us as believers. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 talks about the growing through the trials, through the hardships, and growing closer and closer to what? To God, to our relationship, to our faith and obedience in God. And Moses had just stated the same thing. As you get all these things, celebrate who? God. Jesus calls for all to take up our cross of burdens, our cross of suffering, our cross of trials, in order to walk with Jesus through life and into eternity. In John chapter 15, verse 20, our Lord reminds us that we will be persecuted by the enemies of God. If we believe in Jesus, we will be persecuted in some way. Don't be surprised. You're going to have some trials if you live for Jesus. But press on in Him anyways, because what does He give you? Eternal life. We have memory lapses, just as Israel did. So God sent the apostles and the other writers of the New Testament to write reminders for us. The Apostle Peter wrote his letter to remind Christians of his way. I asked Brother Ray to read a passage out of 2 Peter. 1 Peter is the same thing. Peter is writing to remind us. Remember. I'm not going to be here forever to remind you, so remember. Jude, verse 17. You, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to. Will you? Do we? It's a personal challenge. I can't make you remember. I'm having trouble having you remember the names of the books of the Bible, let alone the commands of Jesus. Do we remember the words of our Lord? Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. Jesus got after the church at Ephesus because they had left their first love. They forgot. They didn't remember. Are you any better than the church of Ephesus? Watch yourself. I must watch myself. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7, the church leaders are called to lead the flock to Jesus Christ. Remember to lead the flock. And I love you, brothers. Keep it up. It's a great responsibility. You younger men, you should be aspiring to become leaders. Leaders for God. Not for yourself, but leaders for God, to lead the flock. And the rest of us are just supposed to do what? Run every which direction? Ignore? No, we're supposed to follow as we all remember Jesus and walk in His teachings. Let us all remember to follow the ways of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. The third point I wanted to focus on is beware of forgetting God. It's a very powerful, strong warning that Moses gave to the nation of Israel. Our love for God must include a healthy respect for His ultimate power, for His ultimate authority. He holds our life, our future, in the palm of His hands. His decision will determine our eternity. Do we fear God? Do we respect God for who He is? Do we respect Jesus for who He is and what He has done for us? Moses solemnly warned Israel to not forget the source of their care, the source of their blessing. They were to guard against self-satisfaction, against ease, against pride, against self-reliance, against self-centeredness. Do we have trouble with those things? Yes. We're just as guilty. We're just as susceptible as the nation of Israel. To forget God brings destruction. Destruction. The Old Testament shows God's tremendous amount of patience, forgiveness, His grace, but billions of people needlessly suffered and died when they took their eyes off of God and tried to do it their way. Only a portion of people were truly blessed. I fear for our nation. I fear for family members, for loved ones and friends. You can't rewrite the rules. You can't rewrite dependence and obedience to Jesus Christ. We need to be careful. There's a strong warning over and over again in the Scripture. Are we living the way God wants us to? Through Jesus Christ, through keeping His Word. Jesus came to the earth the first time as the suffering servant of humanity. He warned that His return will be as judge. All who abuse, reject, or neglect His Word will be lost to hell. Many will say, Lord, Lord, look at all the things I did for You. And He will say, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. Wow, I looked at that list and I thought, man, those are some powerful things that Jesus talked about back there in Matthew. And Jesus said, no, you missed the boat. You misunderstood. You didn't do it right. Get out of here. Go away. Are we being careful? If we're not doing His Word His way, we will be lost. Jesus talked about it over and over again. The writer of Hebrews talks about it over and over again. There's a lot of warnings there. Remember God. Always. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. He may come back today. It's a cloudy day outside. He's coming back in the clouds. Might be tomorrow. Might be in the middle of the night when you're sound asleep. Are you ready? I don't know if I've ever told you this little story. Some of you have, I think. We had a church camp that I grew up in, and one of the traditions was one night of the week, arranged through the counselors, the girls would come and serenade the boys at their cabins. And another night, the boys would arrange to go serenade the girls at their cabins. Well, one night, the girls beat the boys to the draw, and we had no idea. And the girls showed up and ran along the edge of the A-frame cabins that we stayed in with all the corrugated roofing with their hairbrushes and sticks. And boom, 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 and just right about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, just woke all of us up suddenly. And I woke up and all I could see was pitch black. And I had no idea what was going on. My heart had stopped, I think. And my first thought was, it's the Lord. He's come back. Listen to that noise. All that was in a split second, of course. And then finally I came to and realized the girls had raided the cabin. Well, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that happened as a result of that surprise. I won't tell you that, but It's going to be like that. Jesus is going to come back in a split second, and we're not going to be, we're either going to be ready or we're not. You won't have a second chance. Are you ready? Jesus established the Lord's Supper to do what? Remember. Remember Him as our Savior. The unleavened bread reminds us of the great torture that Jesus suffered in becoming our Redeemer. He was beaten, He was scourged, He was whipped, He was spat upon, He was nailed to a rough, rugged cross to take our place. He died in our place. He had never sinned. He took our sin upon Himself. The grape juice reminds us that Jesus shed His perfect sinless blood. Why? Sin requires blood. Perfect blood. And Jesus was the only one who could do that for us. So Jesus gladly went to the cross in our place. He gladly shed His blood to cover the sin of every one of us and every person in the world. We are all accountable before Jesus whether or not we accept His sacrifice in our behalf. We are all called to remember the price Jesus had to die so that we could live. And we are so thankful that Jesus conquered the grave. He is alive. Amen? But don't forget what it cost. Jesus was the Lamb of God who loved us, His special creation, so much that He left the glories of heaven and came to live a tough, rugged life of servitude for us so that we could live with Him in His glorious home forever. Let us each beware of forgetting God, our Redeemer. If we forget Him, we will be condemned. No second chance. No second opportunity. Live for Him now. I want to close with the closing words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this firsthand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.